an executive order will bring new hope to millions of Americans who have kidney disease.
In 2017, kidney disease was the ninth leading cause of death in the United States.
The president says that streamlining these federal rules could save thousands of lives each year.
Procurement organizations are going to have rules which really ensure available kidneys and that they reach waiting patients as quickly as possible.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants people to get ready with the potential tropical storm in the Gulf of Mexico. The governor says there's still a lot of variables with the potential storm.
The storm could evolve into a hurricane. Right now, if it does so, it doesn't seem like the hurricane would be a high level, probably a Category 1. But again, this is impossible to tell.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Republican Attorney General from Texas, Ken Paxton, is leading the fight to undo Obamacare. What Paxton is looking to do is to get rid of the individual mandate in which the government forces people to purchase health insurance or be subject to a fine. Paxton tells Fox News there is still time, though, for Congress to act.
So there's choices here. Congress can step in and do something, which, you know, they certainly have the prerogative to do. Or what I would suggest is let the states experiment. And in Texas, we believe we can offer a better solution than what a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington have already offered or will offer. And so we're hopeful that in the end, our state gets to decide for ourselves what type of health care we're going to offer our citizens. We think we can do it better than Washington. I think we've proven that.
And as far as Texas's plan, he says?
Well, we offer more of a market-based approach. That's what we offered before. We provided a risk pool for the uninsured. We're all about competition and free markets, which hopefully lowers the cost. Normally, we lower the cost and provide more choice versus government programs, which offer less choice, higher costs, and don't let people decide who their doctors are going to be.
The U.S. women's soccer team has the keys to New York City following a ceremony at City Hall. Team star Alex Morgan says the city's tribute to the team has been amazing.
Thank you so much, New York City, for coming out. Over a million people, plenty more. And I want to just thank Mayor de Blasio for giving us another key soon enough to the City Hall.
No word as far as how much this parade will cost the New York taxpayers. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hey, welcome to Hack Hunted and Radio Show. I'm your host, Jim Minadio, and I'm the president of Zero Search, a manufacturer of power quality filters that are used for surge protecting sensitive electronics. With Zero Search, you have peace of mind that your electronics are kept safe. So for today's show, we will cover some news of the world and technology and innovation that you may not have read about. And my guest today is the second place finisher of the 2019 Hack Hunted and Hackathon, Peter, who will be discussing his project called AR PromptBox, along with some exciting news about where this project will continue. So as always, I end the show with some historical innovation story, and since it is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission coming up, I wanted to have some quick stories about the technology that sprouted from the Apollo missions. But first, the weather. Okay, so it is currently 89 degrees in Somerville. Under partly cloudy skies, it looks like it's going to be clear. But tonight we're talking, low of about 68. And Thursday looks like they're saying heavy rain, showers and thunderstorms likely, but mainly after 3 p.m. More heavy rain coming, partly sunny with a high of 85. The chance of rain is about 60%. But they're talking between a quarter and a half an inch of rain possible. Thursday night's going to be even heavier rain and into Friday morning. So it's going to be a wet one again. I guess we had this reprieve for a few days. So Hope you enjoyed that, but get back out the flood buckets because it's going to be coming down. All right, so one more quick break, and we'll be back with the beginning of the show.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, so today, a little bit different news stories. I found this really interesting article. It's from a website called PropMoto, and what PropMoto does is they're into buildings, the technology and innovation with building science. So I've mentioned things like the shingles before in the past, the Tesla shingles, and some other solar stuff, and but it all centers around innovation because like this morning, you know, I saw we had the U.S. women's soccer team was paraded in New York for winning the World Cup. And an article that I didn't bring to talk about, but the gist of it basically is they're a perfect example of where government policy for changes in how we do things can have a long-term effect. Basically, the reason we have a very successful women's soccer team in this country versus the men, which that's a different issue, and I won't get into that, about the equal pay and everything like that. But just from an innovation standpoint, was Title IX. I mean, Title IX in the 70s is what allowed women's sports to thrive. I mean, we have, not only did we win in soccer, which most people know about, but near and dear to my heart is volleyball, and the women's national volleyball team was competing internationally in China at a tournament. The international tournament there, and they beat Brazil, the powerhouse in volleyball. They came down from 2-0 to win 3-2, and they won a few hours before the soccer women did. So, again, these two programs do not exist in this country if we don't have Title IX. So it takes a public policy, a public mindset that we as a society have to say, yes, we are going to support this effort. We're going to support this innovation, and it may not give you, you know, a success right away. It may not give you a, you know, immediate feedback, but long term, it gives you the feedback, as you can see from what's going on today in women's sports. I mean, my daughter benefits from it, and her friends benefit from it today. So there's that. And so back to this PropMoto article. So what we're doing is looking at it from outside of this country today. So what makes different innovation programs work? And so they were talking about different countries. So this guy, Jack Warner, wrote, you know, what sets other countries ahead of the curve in the technological advancement apart, you know, from the rest of the world? You know, obviously there's a mixture of factors. There's economic growth. There's access to education. But some of the ingredients for innovation are favorable legislation and future-forward public policies. So policymakers have the power to encourage or inhibit technological disruption in their home areas. So let's take a look at these nations that prefer to be a driving force for innovation instead of being passive observers. So here's this. The first example comes from Estonia. It is a small Baltic country, post-Soviet country. It is one of the most digitally advanced countries on the planet. And the reason, one of the reasons why is because they decided early on that if they want to stay on the forefront of innovation, they had to do very unusual things. And the first thing they did was they rolled out the world's first e-residency program back in 2014. So what is e-residency? E-residency means that anyone, regardless of what country they're from or where they live, can apply online for a digital identity card. The application process is relatively straightforward. It doesn't take more than a few weeks. Once accepted, the applicants get online access to all of Estonia's administrative services in English and can proceed to open a business in that country. So among the nationalities that apply for the e-residency program, most often are their neighbors, so Russia, Finland, Poland. But there are people that come from places even like Japan and the United States. So why are all these people determined to base their company in Estonia? And the reason, first of all, the country is part of the European Union. So founding a startup in the EU gives you access to the biggest market on the world. Secondly, Estonia is at the forefront of the digital governance. So that means that for those living in places where running a business is a bureaucratic nightmare, New Jersey, Estonia is hassle-free and a fully digital setup and can be, and that's the big draw there. So instead of dealing with paperwork and time-consuming visits to various government offices, entrepreneurs can solve most of their issues in a few clicks. The scheme is so popular that the number of Estonian e-residents is growing faster than the number of babies being born there. So the government is already working on a 2.0 version of their program. And, you know, what's in it for Estonia besides, you know, recognition, they actually do get tax money out of it. So they've been able to get among the non-residents that live there or that don't live there, they're paying at least 10 million euro in income just for having the right to be this e-citizen. So that's an example from Estonia. The next example is from Taiwan. So Taiwan, what they're trying to do is they're trying to be the world's leader in cryptocurrency and not just, you know, blockchain, setting up servers, things like that, you know, the technical infrastructure. It's more the actual policies about it and what, you know, what blockchain really has as far as advantages for doing government work. They have a Congressman Xu, who is a proponent of this, and he explained it as there's so much technology disruption today that is impacting the way our daily lives operate, and the law should reflect that and be updated accordingly. Blockchain, for example, has an unexplored potential to improve public governance. Right now, Taiwan is heavily involved in turning this potential into reality with 25 projects in different departments. They're going to use it to combat fraud, corruption, monitoring political donations, medical records, and issuing digital identities. So in addition to improving local services with blockchain, the Taiwanese legislature wants to attract foreign entrepreneurs and investors. So they've already introduced legislation called sandbox legislation in the finance sector to bring more financial tech startups. And so by having these policies in place, they're getting ready for this technology and what it can do. We'll have a few more in a little bit, but first we have to do a break. And then what we'll do is we'll bring in Peter because he'll be waiting by the phone. And we'll talk more about two of the other countries after we talk to Peter. So quick break, and we'll get right back to it.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, I'm back. If you just bear with me 1 minute, I will get him on the phone. It is, of course, my first time trying to do this, so just bear with me. I guess what I'll do is I'll do another quick break and then give us more time to talk. So we're going to do this a little out of order today. I'll do a quick news break, and then we'll get Peter on the phone, and then we'll talk to him. So just bear with me.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Labor Secretary Alex Acosta is defending a plea deal he helped broker for sex offender, wealthy financier, and Democratic donor Jeffrey Epstein in 2008.
A grand jury convened by the district attorney of Palm Beach County had charged Epstein with a lesser offense. He would have avoided prison altogether.
Vice President Mike Pence is leading a group of bipartisan senators to the border later this week. Now, the senators will be taking a look at detention centers where illegal aliens and asylum seekers are being held. Mark Short is the vice president's chief of staff. He tells Fox Business that there's a lot of misinformation going around.
What you're going to see the vice president do is take a group bipartisan, you said, Senate Judiciary Committee, down to the detention centers and really highlight what is happening inside there, because, candidly, Maria, there's just been such a gross mischaracterization of what's happening.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Okay, I'm back. Let's see if we can hear Peter. Peter, can you hear me? No, we can't. Oh, sorry. Let's see. Okay, well. Here. Peter? Nope. All right, I think I did the wrong one. So let me call him right back. I'll be right back. You know what? We'll do this live. What the heck? Did the wrong phone number, guys. This is the fun inside baseball kind of stuff here. All right, let's try it again. Okay, just dial him up here. Peter? Yeah, hold on. I did the wrong phone. That was the problem. So let me see. Let me hold. Put you on hold again. Let's do this the right way here. Okay. Hold on. Are you there, Peter?
Yes.
All right. Hey, success. Sorry about that. I was using, there's two phones here, and I used the wrong one, of course. So, all right. So, Peter, welcome. Let me give you a proper introduction here. You can hear me pretty well?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let me just raise you up a little so everybody else can hear you. Okay. How do you pronounce your last name? I forgot to ask.
It's Locharunko. Locharunko.
Okay. So that's a tough one. I bet you have to say it all the time.
Yes, it's a Thailand.
Oh, okay, so, yeah. Sure. Nice. Okay, so just to give you an introduction, Peter's a creative technologist who's been developing interactives for a variety of audiences, ranging from museum exhibits to trade shows to experimental marketing events. He embraces the complex discipline of testing and overcoming the limitations of hardware devices and software platforms while continuing to deliver intuitive and compelling user experiences. I won't get into the rest of the bio, but he's done stuff for ESPN, MTV, you know, major companies and museums around the world. So welcome, Peter. So
thanks, Jim. So, thanks for the introduction. Yeah, so I've been doing this digital creative technologist role for about 6 years now, and before that I was doing a bunch of games for a different brand, like in online games.
Okay. Let's start from the beginning. So how did you hear about the hackathon?
Oh, well, I've been doing hackathons about a year and a half, 2 years. So about every once a month, I just do either an Eventbrite search or a Google search, seeing what hackathons are like in New Jersey or New York area.
Okay, so
I find you guys, 100 and hackathon. My first time hearing about it, too. So
okay.
Great.
And where do you live?
I live in Bergen County.
Bergen County, okay. And you work there, too?
Yes, but actually, I have clients in New York City, but I mostly work out of New Jersey, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we have advertised usually, I mean, from north all the way down through to, like, our area as a core area where we try to get for the hackathon. So that's good that we reached all the way up to you. So you get to the hackathon. Now, you've already sort of had an idea brewing in the back of your head for this project, correct?
Back in April, the Bose developer outreach came into New York and had a little workshop for open workshop for a bunch of developers. Like an all-day workshop. So they introduced us to these new Bose AR audio speakers. The sunglasses, and that just came out in March. I guess it was released during the South by Southwest festival. And so
So why don't you describe the glasses to people, since you're not there, you're not here to show us, so.
Yeah, so these are both AR sunglasses that they're tethered by Bluetooth to your mobile phone, and inside the sunglasses there are speakers that allow for 360-degree placement of audio, and then there's a gyroscope, compass, a bunch of interesting hardware, all included inside of almost a regular pair of sunglasses. So Bose AR, Bose, the audio company, they do speakers and headphones, so they're sort of branching out into this sort of AR world now. Mm-hmm. So they came up with this just to see what they could do with the technology by placing it inside these sunglasses. I think it is actually the future. Having sort of tethered devices to just like the Apple Watch.
Right.
These sort of wearable devices that will be sort of tethered to your mobile phone, which everyone has and owns, and carries around everywhere.
Like if I already have a watch and I use the Bose sunglasses, since they're both using Bluetooth, can they both connect to my phone at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they will be able to connect put to both devices.
Okay, and now I go into my car and it connects to Bluetooth, so I can have all three devices connected to my phone?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
<That's> just curious. I was just, because I was thinking about it myself.
I'm not sure what the bounds are. Okay. I do know that the watch and the glasses can tether together. I'm not sure about another audio source. That's an interesting question. Yeah. So I think they might cancel it out if you try to do like Spotify through your car speakers or something. I don't know. I have to see. I guess I haven't tested that out yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to try out. But yeah, cause I'm just thinking in the future, everything you have on you will be Bluetooth connected. You'll have Bluetooth shoes doing your steps, your watch, your now your sunglasses are going to be doing sound and. Jeez.
Yes, I think also Apple will probably with their their iBuds earphones.
Mm-hmm. But the AirPods.
They will probably have this sort of technology with the compass and the 360 directional audio as part of their. It's inevitable that the technology is going to sort of go in that direction where. it'll be they will probably try to compete with what Bose is doing. It seems natural.
Sure. And then the project itself. So why? Because let's describe your project first, and then we'll get into the why.
All right. So the after the workshop, they had a competition. We're like, okay, pitch an app to us, and then they would pick finalists, and then the winners would get a sponsorship. They would pay to help you. They would help you make the app and bring it into the store. So that got me thinking of what kind of app I can make for these sunglasses. And the idea was to use these sunglasses to help actors learn the lines. Mm-hmm. And specifically, I use Shakespeare because they're very well, Shakespeare's been around for 400 years, so these plays don't go out of style,
right.
And they're in the public domain.
Exactly.
So I won't have to pay any licensing fees to use this content.
Right.
So yeah, and also there are audio recordings in the Library of Congress that are free to that are from the public domain, which I could leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the rationale, and the idea to use audio to learn lines, I guess, was planted a couple years ago when my friend, his wife, worked on a movie called Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr.
Oh yeah,
and he had an earbud in his ear when he was acting.
Okay, so he had his lines being fed to him through an earphone.
Yes, and actually, specifically English actor. So instead of learning the English accent himself, he would just parrot what was being said to him.
So he was a mimic more than an actor at that point. He's just mimicking whatever is being told what to do.
I wonder if the guy feeding the lines got any credit in the film. I wonder, that'd be nice,
Yeah, we'll have to Google that for next show. I'll post it on our Facebook page to let people know, see if there's a do you know the name of the person that was feeding him, or you don't know?
No, I do not. I just know my friend's wife was a production assistant on the film, and that was just a story she told. It sort of disillusioned her because, Robert Downey Jr. is one of the most highly paid actors, and you think he'd put in the effort, to learn the lines and learn the accent himself,
the problem is, some people are just miscast. They want him because he's popular, not because he's necessarily the right person for the role. So,
That's true. But anyway, that idea of using audio to feed him the lines, and also it's actually in a live theater, there's something called a prompt box where mm-hmm. there's an area on the stage where when an actor gets lost, in the middle of a play or loses his train of thought, he can just yell line to the prompt box, and then someone will help him feed him like maybe a few words to help him trigger his memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to call this prompt box AR or AR
or
prompt
AR
box
prompt box,
as the app. That's how it came about. The AR prompt box was just Robert Downey Jr.'s using his helper, and also this sort of already physical prompt box that's in all theaters. So that's the general idea.
Okay. So so you've demonstrated it for us, obviously, at the hackathon and then also at the meetup last month. So I could easily describe it real quick. It's just, you put the sunglasses on and you can have the actors located anywhere in the room, either up or down or left, right. And then the voice will start reading from the direction that they're coming from. And you can, you nod your head, and that makes the next line go for the next actor. And then you could shake your head no, and it'll redo the line. Or if you tap the glasses, like this, it'll read your line for you, so you can learn what your line was. So that's the way it works, right?
That's right. And you can choose, which scene you want to start at and which actor, mm-hmm. Character you want to in. So I chose Romeo and Juliet, but you can have a list of all the actors within that scene, and you can specifically say which actor you want to play in that, which role you want to play in that scene.
Okay.
And then you would nod your head to advance to each next line, and then if you're stuck, you tap on your glasses to get the prompt.
Okay. And then you're hacking all night with us, and then What did you, I guess you were the one that came up to me even, I think even at one point, you were excited about how well the hackathon was run as far as, I mean, we had a good advantage having it in a school. So you had your own classroom you could work in, you know, you could talk more about that.
I've done a dozen hackathons, and this one, it really is at the top in terms of just being able to, how everything was structured, everything was run on time. Some hackathons, is a little bit more free form, but this one is really, I liked how structured it was, mm-hmm. and the snacks and the food were, you know, always available, which is great.
Yeah, here's one of our sponsors here, and the cup I'm holding is from Chick-fil-A. So they would,
Chick-fil-A and McDonald's and the bagels, and yes. And
Costco provided the snacks, and Chimney Rock provided us pizza. I mean, we had food coming every 2 hours. You guys were not...
And then even how we presented, you know, people were on deck before they presented, and so I was marveled how well everything ran. It was very very clockwork like, and it really makes a difference. I think in terms of having done ones that haven't been as well organized, and you know, people were always, you know, it seems everyone was very well aware, like what was happening at point during the day, which is great.
Yeah,
and also the splitting up between I guess high school and older participants. That's great. I like the way that worked out.
Yeah, basically for people who didn't know, so we had the last 2 years we've allowed the high school students to compete, and the way we had it was in Hunterdon Central. There's a large cafeteria area that we kept all the high school level kids, and then the adults were in the classrooms down the hall. So we kind of kept everybody segregated, mostly just from a liability standpoint, and also just to keep an eye on the kids, because the younger kids, you know, this was a 24-hour competition, so we wanted to make sure we were around them in case, you know, somebody wasn't used to staying up all night or, you know, having some other issue. The adults pretty much, you know, are self-sufficient. As long as you keep feeding them Red Bull and Chick-fil-A, you know, they're fine.
Right. You know, yeah, but. So the adults, you can sort of don't have to keep your eye on all the time. But definitely under 18, and yeah, having them sleep overnight is definitely, you know, I've been to hackathons where that they'd actually do kick people out after like 9 o'clock, and then they have to come back in the morning. So they don't actually allow them to sleep overnight. But this worked out very well. We had them segregated and had them all just in one area.
Yeah.
And then had the adults in the other. And even the bathrooms are split.
Yeah, that's right. We had our own bathrooms.
Very smart. I think it was very, thanks. You know, I guess everything was very well thought out.
Yeah, there's a big team behind it. I mean, this is our third one, so we did do a lot of learning. The very first one, you know, we had issues with the presentations. The second year,
so I came in with a well-oiled machine.
Thank you. It was definitely a lot of work, and a lot of, you know, that was one thing, especially that last part of the, where you talked about, you know, being on deck and having the next team go, because we knew by then everybody's tired. Everybody just wants to get their performance done. Everybody wants their, you know, chance to make it. So I'm glad you had a great time. And so tell us all about what happened after the hackathon.
Well, so having a prototype that, you know, to transferring my idea to something that sort of works, so I was able to submit that to both the competition that opened out, you know, so pitch competition. So I pitched along with, I guess, a dozen other finalists. Mm-hmm. So the week after I submitted, it was like a week after the hackathon and, you know, ended. Mm-hmm. I submitted and I found out I was a finalist.
Wow.
And then, they had a big ceremony in New York City where all the finalists did a final pitch or the final pitch deck.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I made a little video of, you know, me using the app,
mm-hmm.
you know, my acting with the sunglasses.
Yeah.
So it was great. I had a feeling I was in good shape because I listened to the other ideas. And then when I sort of said my idea was to the other finalists. I didn't know what the other finalists had. You know, we sort of all met there at the competition. I didn't know who I was competing against or mm-hmm. what ideas I was competing against. But when we all in that sort of green room waiting to go out. We mm-hmm. all just sort of talked, and yeah. I heard what everyone else had pitched. And when I told them, like, my app would help actors learn the lines, they all all the other competitors, like, oh wow, that's such an obvious idea.
Yeah.
It was. It they all sort of like, you know, it is using the it really the limitations, the technology of the sunglasses right. and the gestures. You really have to sort of try to find a use case within that sort of tech, you know, that the limitation of that tech. And I think my idea sort of, you know, really falls in that sort of like, yeah, it does make sense in using these sunglasses for that purpose.
So was there anybody else there that had something that you thought was also a good idea for those kind of sunglasses?
Some of the ideas I thought were a little too much. Yeah. I think my idea was simple enough where it could work. I think some ideas were very, I think, too ambitious for the right. technology. Say one was to, I guess, if you're on the subway and if you fell asleep and if you missed your stop, it would help wake you up. But
How would it do that? Just by yelling at you?
Yeah, but it would figure that you went to sleep because of the position of your head.
Yeah.
And then it would somehow figure out that you missed your stop. And
Was there GPS
there is a compass and there's a gyroscope inside the sunglasses. But you really, when you're underground, it'd be hard to actually tell you what direction you're going in and whether you missed your stop. It's an interesting idea, but I think, you have to sort of really understand what the tech is. So they were finalists, but I think it's an interesting idea. But some of these ideas I think were a little too ambitious for the tech. I think if you were a bit more not as ambitious, it just been just you know really looked at what can be you know a bit more direct in terms of what the tech can do.
Right. So what happens with you now? You won that competition, what's the next steps for you?
They're giving me a $10,000.
Wow.
To help finish the app. Oh. They want to launch it by September.
Okay.
So I probably want to limit. Since it's a Shakespeare edition, I probably out of the top three or top five plays.
Mm-hmm.
And then have that in the store, and then if it does well enough, I would add more mm-hmm. plays and maybe get more funding from Bose Audio. But that's the plan. So I'm in the middle of just creating a way to get the all the audio broken up into the time code for each line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have to do. You have to go through all the plays, go through all the audio files, and just like sort of do these sort of metadata mm-hmm. and insert them at the precise points during saying like Romeo speaks here at this point, and then Juliet mm-hmm. speaks here, so I have to do that.
So you're going to create a if it becomes successful, then would the next step be to create a way for content providers to input into your system? So say
I own
the rights to the Neil Simon plays. Yeah.
Kind of tool.
Yeah.
This AR prompt box would be free, but the tool to sort of convert content into the AR prompt box glasses, mm-hmm. that would be, I think, a paid app. So that would be the next step. So yes, so if there's like licensed work, like you know, Death of a Salesman,
mm-hmm.
or Our Town,
yeah.
or one of the Odd Couple, whatever, one of the classic plays, they can either I can be hired or they can hire someone to use that tool to convert a table reading or whatever into content for the AR prompt box.
Yeah, you know what's smart about this too? I don't know if you realize because just happened to hear a story about this on NPR the other day because schools are having issues where they're using these plays, and some of the plays have either, you know, they're from the 50s and 60s and they have maybe some racial overtones or, you know, stereotypes and things like that. And one of the comments that the teacher made was, we're not legally allowed to change the words of these plays. So, like, once your system is in place, like, if it's a Neil Simon play, you can't change any of the words in the play. So it's like a one-time upload for you, and that's it. You don't have to worry about having the, you know, 100 in Central High School edition version of it, because they can only put it out one way.
That's right.
So it is a very focused app.
I do know, like, these, I think there's, like, three big play publishers who license the these works to, like, so to local theaters and schools where they get, I guess, they pay a fee to allow it to perform the plays.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess I would think of trying to be partnering with them and maybe having sort of, like, you know, Maybe sort of tiered service if they wanted to allow, you know, be part of the AR prompt box. That's still down the road, but that's an idea.
Okay, so then is this something you're take over from what you're doing, your day job per se, or is this something you've been doing?
Not yet. So I'm working at a place called Two Goats in New York City for the next month.
Okay.
So from now until August, I'm actually working on another project outside Air Prop. But in August, that's when I can actually devote more, you know, almost full time to getting this done by September.
Okay. So well, we're just coming up on the clock soon, so I wanted to wrap it up real quick. But definitely invite you when this becomes in the store. You want to, you know, you're always welcome to any of the Hack 100 and meetups if you want to come down here.
That's not it. So maybe I will come down when it's ready to show off, when it's about to be released, and then you can talk again.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then so sometime in September, our meetings are always the last Thursday of the month. So if you wanted to come to a meeting, or if you want to come back on the radio show with me, that's fine too. Maybe you can come in person. We could find a day you could come in.
Oh, great! That'd be awesome. Yeah,
I could always use more guests and. You know, I already know you, so now I could. It's always fun to get repeat guests because then we can go deeper into what's going on.
Yeah, we need to follow up and see how it goes. Yeah,
okay,
great.
So, thank you, Peter, for coming on the show. I'm up on a break here, and then after that, we will go over the historical story, and then we'll be done our show for the day. So, again, thank you, Peter, and I'll send you a message on email later today.
All right, Jim, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Every day. Bye.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back to Hack Hunterdon Radio. Again, my name is Jim Minadio. I'm a president of Zero Surge Incorporated, ZeroSurge.com, and now available at Walmart.com, our plug-in products. So check them out there, too. We just had Peter with his AR Prompt Box project, and hopefully we'll get him back in September when it actually releases in the Bose store for their for his app, and maybe see him at the Hack 100 Meetup. Okay, so to finish up before we get to our history, wanted to talk about some of these other countries that were doing interesting innovation. One of them, we were on Lithuania is what we're getting to. Now, Lithuania has an interesting concept. They called it RealBox. Now, what they did was they took over 100 buildings totaling over 2.5 million square meters. So, multiply that by whatever, 9 to get, so it's about, 18 million square feet. Basically, their whole town, the whole capital, Vilnius, is a tech hub. So what they're calling this is prop tech, so like property technology. And so we're talking about things like 5G. We're talking about things like smart homes, smart building maintenance, smart building monitoring, HVAC stuff, 3D maps, planned projects. And what it is because they're sharing the data of all these, and these are homes, these are businesses, these are big commercial buildings. You can come in and do your pilot program in their town. So they're saying, come develop your projects here. And so it's kind of an interesting concept. I thought, maybe we'll talk to Mark about this as an initiative in the county. Maybe we could, you want to develop your country living product, come to Hunterdon County, where, we have obviously lots of country living, to actually do real world testing of those products. And then the last one is Singapore. Now, Singapore, most people know, is a very modern city, very big technology hub. And what they're doing is they have what's called their Smart Nation program. And so they have these smart projects. They've invested over $1 billion just this year alone in autonomous vehicles, unified QR codes, those little square barcode payment systems, fiber optic covers 85% of their citizens. It's basically top-down approach of saying, all right, we want technology, we want the framework for all these cool devices and products in place. And they rank 6th in the world as far as the top smart cities. So what do all these four countries have in common is that they understand that the world is changing. They understand they can choose to change with it or become irrelevant. Governing bodies in the digital age have the challenging role of keeping up with constant transformations, something most legislators weren't educated or trained for. But the Tech First Nations quoted above, meaning in the story, have shown that it's possible for policymakers to keep up with and even stay ahead of the technology disruptions. So maybe something to think about when you're talking to your local politician about some kind of technology coming down the pike. We should be out ahead of it, embrace it. It's going to be here. Let's use it for good. So in the time we have left, the theme for the historical, as I said before, because we have the 50th anniversary of the moon landing coming up soon on the next week from Saturday, I believe it would be, of the actual day that we landed on the moon for the first time. So I looked up, there's a bunch of different retrospective articles when it comes to innovation and technology. There was an article about the 7 inventions from the Apollo space program that we still use today. So the first one threw me off a little bit, but the first one they're saying is the dustbuster. So Black & Decker developed the first lightweight handheld motor that went into the lunar surface drill. And that motor is what they use to create the dustbuster. The second item is thermal blankets. So, when a marathon runner crosses the finish line and they drape them in like a aluminum foil kind of blanket, or if you're in an emergency situation, they hand them out to patients. That lightweight reflective sheet was created by NASA when they needed material that would insulate astronauts and the spacecraft while taking up as little space as possible. All those cameras that you use in your phone were originally designed, a lot of them were originally designed from for NASA, for the Apollo space program. Specifically, that little sensor in the back of your phone camera that actually takes the image, most of them are what's called a CMOS sensor. I can't remember. I think it's ceramic metal oxide substrate is what it stands for. And that's the basis of all the detectors that digital cameras use, and your GoPros, your phones, digital cameras. And it was the CMOS camera is what they used to take pictures of the moon. The fourth one is bridge shock absorbers. Now, the shock absorbers found in both bridges like the Bay Bridge in Oakland and London's Millennium Bridge were born out of the Apollo missions. Taylor Devices Incorporated created the devices for the NASA's Apollo launch pad and still sell them today as seismic shock absorbers for structures around the world. Number five would be the fireproof firefighter uniform. So the Nomex, I guess, material was developed specifically for the astronaut program because of what happened after Apollo 1. If you don't recall, Apollo 1 was supposed to be the first mission in the Apollo program, obviously. But unfortunately, the three crew members died in a cabin fire while they were on the launch pad. So there was a fire inside their cockpit and killed all three astronauts. So NASA developed a suit that would be flexible, fireproof, and can withstand heat. And so the fire suit that the firefighters wear today is it's a product of that unfortunate event. The second to last, number six, so it would be vacuum-sealed food. The vacuum-sealed food that lines our supermarket shelves is another NASA spinoff invented to make sure food in space wouldn't spoil. So vacuum packaging prevents microorganisms from spreading, ensuring that astronauts didn't get sick in space, because who wants to be a sick astronaut? And then the last one is shock-absorbing sneaker soles. So the sneaker company Avia turned to NASA's suit when wanting to create a shock-absorbing sole that didn't break under pressure. Their patented compression chamber midsole, created in 1990, was invented with the help of NASA's Apollo engineering program. So, you know, when I was reading this article, I was thinking in the back of my head, because a lot of information about history and knowledge of engineering, and sometimes it's like an urban legend. So, you know, people think of the space program. They think one of the things that they think of for inventions is Velcro, and the other is duct tape. Maybe because of the Apollo 13 movie, there was the famous line about the duct tape. You know, if we have duct tape here, then we could solve anything. So, and so I found out, for those you don't know, the duct tape actually was originally called duct tape, as in the bird. And it was developed in World War II to prevent ammunition casings from from getting water in them. And originally duct tape was green, army green, obviously. And Johnson & Johnson developed it in their Permacell division. So J&J, obviously a New Jersey company. And then once it was being used for the HVAC industry for air conditioning and ductwork, they changed the name to duct with the T. Fun fact, though, is that they don't use regular duct tape anymore for ductwork because it gets brittle and it breaks. So, ironically, it's still called duct tape, but we don't use it for ductwork anymore in this country. And, so then the last invention was Velcro. And Velcro was developed in the 40s as well by a Swiss Mr. Mestral, a Swiss engineer. He realized that the little tiny hooks of the cockle burrs were stuck on his pants and dog fur and wondered how they could attach themselves. And so under a microscope, he could see how the hooks were engaging with the loops of his fabric. And so he created Velcro. Now, Velcro obviously is, you know, it's a brand name that we've heard of, but did you know that it was a, it's from the French words for velvet and hook. So velour and crochet. So Velcro is where they came from. So, you know, he patented it, and that was the original Velcro. Obviously used in the space program, though. Okay, so I guess that's it for now. I see Dave's ready in the wings to go. So I'd like to thank Peter for discussing his project. Thank all the new fans of the show. Thanks to the Chamber for giving me opportunity and platform. Mark and his team from Economic Development for their encouragement and support. The gang back at Zero Surge, Donna, Deb, Jen, Tony, Dave, and John. Thanks to Debbie and Nick and Cora. And all the rest of you innovators out there, the original meaning of innovator was that you're a rebel. So keep rebelling against the doubters and make your ideas a reality. Thank you.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Labor Secretary Alex Acosta is speaking out for the first time after it became known that he helped broker a plea deal for sex offender and wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein in 2008.
Epstein got an ultimatum: plead guilty to a charge that would require jail time and registration, or face federal charges.
Acosta, who was a U.S. attorney in Florida at that time, also says,
they brought these charges based on new evidence against Jeffrey Epstein, who is now a registered sex offender, and this is a very, very good thing.
On Wednesday, President Trump signs an executive order aimed at revamping the nation's organ transplant and kidney dialysis systems.
Roughly 100,000 Americans are currently awaiting a kidney donation. Many, many people are dying while they wait.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor, and in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The numbers regarding how many people were arrested at the U.S.-Mexico border are out for the month of June, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes takes a look at them.
Federal immigration officials say there was a noticeable drop in the number of people detained at the southern border last month. Ken Cuccinelli is acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and he says it's too early to start celebrating that.
It reached certainly epic proportions. Some of that has eased in June. The numbers dropped down to about 104,000.
He was speaking to Fox and Friends. There are still tens of thousands of migrants and asylum seekers being held at facilities all along the border.
A federal appeals court is dismissing a lawsuit against President Trump that alleged he has violated emolument clauses in the U.S. Constitution. The court said President Trump is not illegally profiting from foreign interests at his luxury hotel in Washington, D.C. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
The Major League Baseball All-Star Game took place on Tuesday with the American League winning 4-3 over the National League. Now, the American League will now have the home field advantage in the World Series. Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz played 22 years in Major League Baseball and is an eight-time All-Star. He shares with Fox News what it's like to be named to that All-Star team.
It's amazing. You know, it's like you get an appreciation for your peers, and it feels like you've checked in. Like, when you play baseball as long as most of these guys will play, there's an admiration level that's unmatched. Yeah, some guys would say the 3 days off would be nice, but there's nothing like putting on a uniform representing your city, coming against the guys that you compete against all year for